Thanks, Dan. I feel like I've got the easy part after that. Romans 16. So we're finally at the end of Romans. We've been going through the book. We finally made it to the end, and this is how it ends. Is this anyone's favourite chapter from the book of Romans? Does anyone really even know this chapter or remember it? There's a lot of Romans is quite quotable, perhaps not chapter 16. It's just really, there's a little bit in the middle. You know, as a preacher, the tempting thing is to look at that little bit in the middle where Paul talks about, don't let anyone deceive you. That's what my sermon's going to be about. And, you know, because the rest of it is just a list of names. A list of names that of people that Paul knew, but we don't. And in fact, the Bible has a lot of lists of names in it. The Old Testament frequently will pause just to give you a list of names of various people. We're first Sunday in Advent, so you begin to think about the birth of Jesus and the stories, the shepherds and the wise men and all that. And of course, Matthew, how does Matthew start his gospel? With a list of names. Before he even talks about the birth of Jesus, he starts with just a list of names, the family history of Jesus. And Paul, in his letters, does this a lot. Just names, greetings to various people, or look after this person, or give this message to this person, instruct this person, that, this. And by the time you get to the end of a letter, especially a letter like Roman, and you get to a chapter like this, it's tempting to just kind of switch off. A bit like at the end of a service, where, you know, where Sarah's going to stand up and do the notices. Of course, by then, you're up to those notices now, let's just switch off. Service is finished, think about what we're going to have for lunch or whatever. So it's tempting when you get to the end of a letter, especially a letter like Romans. It's a list of names. It's people we don't really know anything about. We just switch off. We're finished. We're done. Now, it might sound obvious, but there are a lot of people in the world that we don't know. Now, I have lived in a few places around the world, as many as you have. Lots of different places. For a while, I've lived and studied and worked in London, and you see a lot of people in London. There are a lot of people in London. I remember standing in train stations, waiting for trains so many times, and there's so many people in train stations, just walking by, just standing in crowds, and you don't know these people. You just pass them by. Sometimes you might pass someone you know. When Ruth and I were studying in London, one evening, we were walking along Strand, which is one of the red properties in Monopoly, for those of you who want to know. And it was dark, it was the evening, and we were walking through some scaffolding. They were doing some work on a building, and a man and a woman passed us, walking at great speed, heads down, passed us, and we just sort of passed them. And Ruth and I will both swear to you that the woman was Princess Diana, that she was just in a hurry to get away, probably from a hotel that's a bit further down the Strand. And you sometimes recognise people that you pass, but sometimes, most of the time, you don't know these people. They're just faces in the train station or on the street or in the shops, people going about their business, getting on with their lives, with all their hopes and dreams. And train stations for me are fascinating because you often find people from, they're all people from all over the country have sort of gathered in this one place for the purpose of traveling somewhere else. People from all kinds of backgrounds, all colors, all creeds, all social standings. Like it's like as though God's picked up a handful full of people from around the world and just thrown them in one place and stirred them all together for a moment while we stand waiting for trains to take us to places. You ever stop and think about these people, the people you pass in the street or the people you just see in train stations? Do you ever stop and think about praying for these people, just as they pass you for that second, just for that one moment where your lives interact and cross? Do you ever think, I'm just going to quickly pray for this person, these people, as our lives pass? Because why would you? You don't know them. You don't know these people. You'll never see them again. But I tell you this, God knows them. God knows them. Have you ever considered the possibility that you might make a difference in their lives just by praying for them, just by bringing them before God for a few seconds, just before you both pass and never meet again? Have you ever thought you might change someone's life? Someone you've never met, someone you will never meet again, just by praying for them as you pass in the street, as they move past you in a train station, as they stand next to you in the queue at the shops. Look, Romans is full of deep theology and big topics. We've thought about things like grace and faith, Israel, election, you know, God's purposes. And by the time you get to the end of the book, you might be a bit exhausted, a bit tired of having thought about all these big topics, all these amazing earth-shattering truths. And you might be tempted to think, let's just finish. Let's just bring it, you know, let's not be heavy. Let's just ease our way out of this book, James. Why don't you preach us, sir? Do something like a nice summary of the book and all the things we've looked at. Something like that, rather than thinking about the names of all these people we don't know, all these personal comments that make perfect sense to Paul and to the people, the first people to sort of hear this letter, but they make no sense to us. They make no sense to us. We don't know these people. We don't know their situations. Who are they? What are they to us? But let's not skip this passage. Let's not switch off as we finish this book, as we get to Romans 16. Because skipping over the final chapter of Romans 16 is like moving through a crowd in a train station and just ignoring all the humanity around you. Just not thinking of these people, considering to stop and think about their lives, stopping, thinking, praying for them, maybe not even thinking of them as human beings. That's what it's like to just skip over lists of names in the Bible, because we don't know them, these people in Romans 16, or the people in the crowds we meet, but God does. God does. Now, we know Paul. I've got a very rare picture of Paul. Where's, if you could put that up, there you go, there's Paul, Saint Peter and Paul there, Saint Pierre and Saint Paul, it must be a French church. I think that's what a selfie, I guess, that Paul took with Peter at some point. Now, we know Paul, he's the guy on the your right with the red there. Now, he was responsible for the book we've been studying, for a lot of the New Testament letters. A lot of the theology we hold to and we think about and we speak about and we read about has been shaped by Paul and what he wrote in his letters. In fact, he's identified here, he's Saint Paul. That's who he is. We know him as Saint Paul. And we know his story. A man who was once committed to trying to destroy the church, who met Christ and was totally transformed, and spent the rest of his life to death serving Jesus, taking the gospel around the Near East. He spent the last years of his life in prison for his faith. He died for Jesus. We hold him up as a sort of a model, an example of our faith. This is, you know, was a great man, a great influence on the church and a model example of what it means to follow Jesus. Now, not so long ago, I was reading Colossians, another letter that Paul wrote while he was in prison. He wrote this one while he was in prison. And I got to the end of the letter, and he does the same thing in Colossians. He kind of throws in a few personal greetings and comments and instructions like that. And I remember being struck by something I read in Colossians 4:10, which is this. He wrote, "My fellow prisoner Aristarchus sends his greetings." Aristarchus. Have you ever heard of Aristarchus? Does that name ring any bells to you? Well, he does actually get mentioned a couple of times in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, but he's not really someone we know anything about. He's someone we pass in the street, someone who we briefly cross paths with in a train station. And yet Paul says, "My fellow prisoner Aristarchus sends, he sends his greetings to the Colossians as well. Aristarchus, this guy, he's in prison with Paul for the same reason as Paul. And we know Paul and we honor Paul, but here's this guy, Aristarchus, that most of us don't know. And yet he's making exactly the same sacrifice for his faith as Paul is. He's paying the same price for his faith as Paul is. Yet most of us don't know who he is. Most of us don't remember. Most of us don't care. But God does. God does. And it's not just God who remembers Aristarchus, of course. Paul does too. Paul mentions him. He says, you know, this guy is in my fellow prisoner. And it's the same in Romans 16. Lots of people we don't know, but God does. Lots of people we might be tempted to skip over, but Paul doesn't, because Paul values them. Listen to what Paul says about some of them. Daniel's done an excellent job of reading out those names. Let's just pull a few of the names mentioned, either people Paul sends greetings to or gives instructions about or whatever. It starts at the beginning, he talks about Phoebe. And he says, it's Phoebe. And Phoebe has been a great help to many, including Paul. That's what he says. Then he goes on, he talks about Priscilla and Aquila. Now, Priscilla and Aquila do get mentioned quite a bit in the New Testament, in the book of Acts. We know a bit more about them than we do about probably anyone else in this list of names. We might be more familiar with them. Some of you may, Priscilla and Aquila, I've heard of them. But what does Paul say about them? He says, they risked their lives for me. What does that mean? Do we know what that means? Do we know how they risked their lives for him? We can speculate, we can maybe ponder about what we do know about them and wonder about that, but we don't really know what Paul means when he says, you know, they risked their lives for me. We don't know, but God knows. God knows what Paul meant by this. He mentions Mary, just mentions there's lots of Marys in the New Testament. He mentions one here, Mary, who worked hard for the church in Rome. Andronicus and Junius. Do those names ring a bell? Do you know those people? No, but Paul says these are outstanding among the apostles. Imagine that. Outstanding among the apostles. That's high praise coming from Paul. We don't know who they are. We don't think about them. We don't write books about them. We don't reflect on their teachings. Rufus. He mentions Rufus and his mother. Now, Rufus's mother, poor old Rufus's mother, doesn't even get a name. She's just Rufus's mother. And yet, Paul says, she is like a mother to me. She has been like a mother to me. What about Tertius in verse 22? Who's he? Well, Tertius is actually the guy who wrote Romans. Now, we say it's Paul. Paul wrote Romans. Everyone knows that. You know, I made the same thing. I said, Paul wrote Colossians. But that's the thing. Paul didn't really write these books. He dictated them, and someone else wrote them down. We've got here St. Paul's Cathedral. Is there a St. Tertius's Cathedral anywhere? Do we know that? But we don't. We only have Romans because of him, because he wrote it down as Paul dictated it. We talk about Paul, we lift Paul up, we respect and look up to Paul. But here, Paul lifts a group of men and women that he owes things to, that he is thankful for. Don't skip over these names. Don't switch off now, because these are the men and women who made a Paul. And we don't know them, and we don't remember them, but God does. God most definitely does. And the reality is that people like Paul, those kind of giants of the faith who shake the earth with their lives, who leave us a legacy that we spend hundreds of years sort of reflecting on and thinking about, those kind of men and women are few and far between. There are not many of those people, those heroes of the faith, who were remembered through the ages. Not many people get the sort of treatment that Paul got. But there are countless countless men and women who just get on with the business of working hard for others, of loving others, making sacrifices for Christ, suffering for their faith, being faithful in the small things for years and years and years and years, who are never known, who are never remembered. But when I read about Aristarchus in Colossians, when I read Romans 16, you know what it reminds me of? You know what it makes me remember? It makes me remember that we might forget, we may never even know these people in the first place, but God never forgets and God always knows. To you and I, what we read in Romans 16 is just a list of names, but to God, these are his children. Not a single face forgotten, not a single birthday missed. The crowd in the train station, the faces we pass by in the street, to you and I, just nobodies, just people who cross our paths for a second, not worth a thought. But to God, men and women that he thinks are worth the life of his son. And for some of us, we carry on serving God in the small things day after day, trying to honor God with our lives, and no one is ever going to know. No one is ever going to know. No one's going to print our letters after we die. No one's going to write books about us. But God knows. God remembers. And we may never know truly in this life the impact we have on the kingdom through our small, faithful acts of obedience. You and I may never be a Paul, but that's okay. That's actually okay, but you can be a Mary working hard for a church. You can be a Tertius writing down good things, someone else's words, making sure that they're spread to others. You can be a Gaius offering hospitality to others. You can be Rufus's mother, being a mother or a father to someone who does not have a mother or a father figure in their lives. And people may never even know that you've done that, but God does. And the kingdom of God needs Paul, yes, but it needs Andronicus and Junius too. It needs Urbanus, Persis, Erastus. It needs all of these people, not a single one forgotten by God. So never, never skip these lists you read in the New Testament or the Old Testament. Don't switch off. Read these names. Think about these people, because these people could be you. And if God thinks they are worth remembering, then they are. And be thankful that there's a Romans 16 in your Bible, that it doesn't just end at 15, because it means that if God thinks that what you've done is worth remembering, it's worth remembering. And you may not be a Paul yourselves, but you might help make a Paul. And that won't be forgotten. And that is why I want you to remember the people you pass in the street. I want you to remember those people whose paths cross yours just for a second. I want you to remember, where you can, just to send up a prayer for these men and women who you may never see again, because you never know. You never know how God might use that prayer, how God might respond to those prayers. You may never know what part you might play in somebody else's life just because you took a second or two to plead with God for them. That might be the first step on their journey to becoming a Paul. And maybe one day they'll write their own letters and you'll get a mention in the last chapter, a thank you. Their own way of remembering you, someone who loved them when they were unlovable. Or maybe they'll never know. Maybe they'll never know what you did for them, what part you played in their life. But God always will. Or maybe not never, because never is a long time. And I think they will know one day. Everything will come into the light one day. Everything you've done, every good thing you've done for someone else, big and small, will be made known. If you sought the kingdom first, if you've loved others regardless of whether it was appreciated, if you've been a mother or a father to someone, a fellow worker, a fellow prisoner, a great help, tested and approved in Christ, one day everyone will know. Everyone will know. And maybe one day you'll arrive at the gates of heaven and there'll be a crowd waiting outside, a crowd of people you don't know, a crowd of people you don't recognize. You don't know who they are, but they know you somehow. And it's people you've prayed for in other countries that you've never met. It's someone who you helped by something you said. It's someone who was helped by someone that you helped. You don't know them, but they know you. And you'll say to them, "What are you doing here?" And they'll say, "Well, we heard you were coming, and we just wanted to say thank you."